Welcome to The Workbench, where each week we take the time and make the space to build and create in our lives. I'm your host, Christina Awe, and I'm a writer, coach, and human resources professional with a deep interest in helping you find clarity, overcome obstacles, plan, and take action on your big dreams and goals. By doing this and sharing the journey, we build and create, and we inspire others to do the same. So let's get to it. In this episode, I had the chance to test drive the technology used to capture this conversation with Joan Kling, a friend and fellow traveler on the path of coaching and leadership. Joan and I met in 2012, and while we don't see each other often, our friendship took root, and every time we speak, I leave feeling lighter and I carry with me a deep sense of goodwill. In today's episode, Joan and I talk about a deep and early experience that shaped her life, her decision to move to San Diego, the evolution of her career, and why she chose to pursue a coaching certification. We touch on themes of building confidence, examining self-worth, and doing battle with imposter syndrome. She gives some tips on how she navigates these internal minefields and also what to look for in a coach. Joan is a fantastic soul with a ton of wisdom and life experience. I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed our conversation. But before we jump in, I wanted to reflect and shout out to Drew Dudley. So often, we don't know of the positive impact we can have on others. I was reminded of this recently while watching a TED Talk by Drew Dudley called Everyday Leadership. He tells a beautiful and brief story from his past. It inspires me to think more about the people who have had an impact on me. This is one of those videos that has deeply influenced my own thinking about leadership and how to show up in the world. I'll include the link in the show notes. Thank you, Drew Dudley, for sharing your leadership thinking with the world. You know, I think Zoom says something about, and we are recording now, I think they talk a little bit about how the video doesn't necessarily come through, and so it doesn't take up too much space on the audio.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it's stored in the cloud anyway, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Awesome,
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was so funny. You said you could do it tonight. I'm like, yeah, let's do it tonight, and then I'm doing a mad search on how to do a call like this and record it for the episode, so... all right.
Great time to be alive, huh?
It really is. Tech is pretty amazing.
Amazing.
All right. So I'm going to do a little intro here. Joan and I are experimenting tonight with the first remote recorded call for the Workbench podcast. We're really not sure what's going to happen here, but we're just going to go with it. And this is part of the building process, stepping into some uncomfortable, unknown terrain, but going ahead anyway. We hope this makes the cut and can be used for an upcoming episode. So, Joan, it's really great to hear your voice again. And I thought we'd start us off with some getting to know you questions.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And, you know, this will set the stage for our audience, and then we can talk a little bit about what you're in the process of building yourself.
Okay.
Great. All right. So, tell me a little bit about where you're from and where you live now.
You know, where I am from is such a simple question, right? But it's... a little more complex because I was born and raised in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And then I moved to California when I was 19 on a whim. And I've been in that was in San Diego. And I've been there almost my entire life, like 36, 37 years. And about 3 years ago, I moved to the Bay Area, which is the San Francisco Bay Area. And I live on what they call the peninsula part of the Bay Area. And, yeah.
How are you liking it up there now?
You know, it's so green compared to San Diego. There's so many trees and it's really cool because you have the ocean and you have the mountains, not really mountains tall enough to get snow, but you have like a little bit, people in Montana would call it like a hill, but, so it's nice. And I've met some really nice people here, really nice friends I have.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to get to why you decided to move up there. And I can't believe it's been 3 years already.
I know it just flew by.
Yeah. But you know, you said you moved to San Diego on a whim. Tell me a little bit about that. Did you just wake up one morning and decide to move out here, or were you aching to get out of the East Coast, or?
Well, How much time do we have? Is this going to be, you want the short version or the long version? I can give you one.
Shortest version. I think we'll do a short call tonight and see how it goes.
Okay.
30 minutes or so, I was thinking.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, where does the story, this is a question I have in life. Where does a story begin?
Yeah.
You know, and now with movies and stuff, they have like prologues and, you know, things that are came before the actual
prequels
movie.
And, yeah.
Prequels, that's the word I'm looking for, prequel. So, well, the truth is, and I did want to talk about this on your podcast because it is so profound. It was such a profound thing in my life, is that my mother passed away very suddenly when I was in high school.
Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah. So I left for my junior prom, and when I came home from the prom, she had passed away.
Oh, Joan.
Yeah. And my father had a complete nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
So it was a really difficult time for the family.
Yeah.
And I'm one of seven, but two were already married at that time. And I'm sure that played some sort of part in it. But
right.
my friend just said that we had gone from first grade to 14th grade together.
Yeah.
In 2 years, we went to Temple University 2 years together also. And she said, my brother lives in San Diego and we can go out and visit him. Why don't we go stay for a year and then we'll come back and finish up school. And I was like, okay. And so that's how it got me. And she was from my neighborhood, and she lived with, her brother lived with two other guys from the neighborhood, and one of the guys had a girlfriend and who I had met. And then I moved into this house with them. My friend ended up not coming. I ended up going, and one of those guys became my husband.
Oh, okay.
Who's now my ex-husband, but yes.
I totally understand what you mean when you say, where does the story start? Because we make these little tiny decisions, and moving is not a small decision, but you know, it's one of many decisions that you make, and you have no idea where it's going to take you. And you think it's just going to be, you know, I'm just going to move there for a year. And then you end up living there for years and years and years. And I think that's interesting to hear people's stories, how mm-hmm. they evolve.
And, you know, when you're 19, you just know so much. You are just so smart.
Right.
Isn't that, there was a song that says, I was older then, I'm much younger now, or something like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah. I don't know who did that.
I don't know.
That's familiar. Stuff,
but yeah. And so, yeah. I don't really know that the death had anything to do with me coming, or my father not really being mentally 100%. But looking back, it seems like it did. Like,
yeah.
It's just such a profound event to lose your mother. Anyone that has lost their mother at an early age, it's an incredible loss.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how hard that must have been for you, for the whole family.
Yeah.
Especially unexpectedly, I think it can be take you down. It can take you down for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So you lived here for a bunch of years, and what? How did that go? Did you fall into a job you liked? Were you searching? Tell me a little bit more about that time period and how, I mean, ultimately I'd like, we're going to talk a little bit about how we met and, you know, I'm more interested in what's going on now, but just to set the stage, I'm a little bit curious on the journey.
Well, so I came to San Diego and I was a waitress back in at the Jersey Shore for a couple summers.
Okay.
And so I knew I could be a waitress, so I knew I could get a job. And so I waitressed for a little while, for about a year, and then I went home because my year was up. I went home, and my dad was going to get remarried, and So basically, he was like, there's really no place for you to live because I'm getting married. And so then I ended up coming back to San Diego. And I had a boyfriend at the time. And then the same guy that I had met like the first day. And I knew I could get my job back. And San Diego State was $224 a semester.
Okay, wow.
And community college was still free in California. And I had been here a year.
So you had residency.
I accidentally had residency. So I started school. I came back and got my job back, moved back in with the boyfriend, and started going to school.
Wow. And what did you go to school for?
My undergrad is journalism and Spanish.
Journalism. I love learning this stuff about people. This is really great. It kind of explains a little bit about what you're doing now with the inquiry and the coaching that you're doing. And, you know, I think it's interesting how that can be working in the background somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we met back in 2012. You were one of the first people I met when I started the Masters of Science program at USD here in San Diego, the Executive Leadership Program. And we had just been through, I think we had just finished our first week. And we were having the barbecue, and you were one of the people, one of the alums there, sitting with us and guiding us into the program. And I just remember Miriam and I were sitting with you, and you were so friendly and just calming, and it was really fun to just
hear
a bit more about the journey you'd been through. So that was how we met, and I think it's interesting that we've kept in touch all these years after that, you know, very brief meeting.
Mm-hmm. Me too. So,
yeah, I like how that took. And, but you know, so you had this journalism background and you worked for a bunch of years. What brought you back to school to get your master's in executive leadership?
Well, if you fast forward many, many, many years, I've been a government worker most of my life. I've worked for four different cities in San Diego County. And, I wanted to move up, and so I asked two people that I really respected that were in higher positions in the government, do I really need to have a master's degree to, you know, move up? And both of them, without hesitation, said, yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking at the colleges in San Diego, and I know I didn't want an MBA.
Yeah.
And I know I didn't want an MPA, a master's in public administration. I knew I didn't want a business administration or public administration degree. So I just,
how did you know that? Can I ask? Were you just certain?
It just didn't appeal to me at all. Yeah. There was nothing about it that sounded remotely exciting.
Understood.
So seriously, I looked at every college in San Diego and what they had masters in.
Okay. So that's how you started searching next step. Okay.
And so then I saw USD that had a master's in executive leadership, and I just was like, that's it.
Yeah.
Then I found some other schools that had master's in executive leadership, but I was just attracted to the connection with Ken Blanchard and USD. I mean, being able to go to USD is just a dream come true.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful school.
Oh my gosh, I just feel the Holy Spirit whirling around constantly.
Yeah.
When I'm on campus, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt similarly when I found that program, because I was looking to get a master's as well, but I didn't have any idea what I wanted to get it in. And as I was looking through programs and I was looking through the syllabus on that one, every class, except for maybe stats, me. So I was like, oh, I think this is the direction I'm going. So I'm interesting to hear that you had the same experience where you just kind of had that sense of knowing.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about, you know, so you were working for the city of Encinitas at the time, right?
Or had Yes.
All right. And you were doing code, you were doing code enforcement, or tell me a little bit more about your role there and then how that led you into the coaching realm that you're in now.
Well, most of my career in government has been in what's called code enforcement. And I always tell people, if you don't know what that is, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
That means none of us.
You don't want Joan knocking on your door.
No, it's not.
Saturday night.
Not, a happy thing when someone from code enforcement knocks on your door. So it varies from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but mostly I enforce planning, building, zoning, land use codes.
Okay.
And in the end, really, most jurisdictions go by complaints. So basically a neighbor complains about another neighbor.
Squeaky wheel.
And then they submit a complaint saying that you're doing whatever. You leave your trash cans out all the time. You have someone living in your garage. You converted the garage. You just any kind of private property regulation that you can imagine. The fence is too high. A second story deck that's looking into my bedroom that has no permit. You know, so many things.
I bet. And so many people here. So.
Yep. You know, and we live closer and closer and closer. And so you see and you hear things that your neighbor's doing, and then usually there's an underlying issue.
Like attention or something.
There could be attention. And a lot of times, yes. And a lot of times it has to do with someone parking in front of you, you parking in front of someone else's house.
Okay.
People think that that space right in front of their house is theirs. I mean, it's public street, so anyone can park there.
Yeah.
But it usually comes down to, if you talk to them long enough, they'll say, and they always park in front of my house.
That's interesting.
There's a tip for your readers. If you have any zoning or code violations on your property, park in front of your own house. Okay. Not your readers, your listeners.
Our listeners.
Tip for your listeners, park in front of your own house.
What made you decide to leave that and start your latest endeavor?
It has been, coaching has been a calling of mine for probably ever since I heard the term coach about 25 years ago. And then since I moved up here, I was able to go to coaching school. And it's just something I've wanted to do forever. And so I finally had the opportunity and the time and the money to go. And just everything lined up right at this point in my life. Before, I didn't make a priority or I wasn't willing to spend the money. I mean, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
To go to coaching school. And, you know, so many people for so many years said I didn't need a coaching certificate because I had my master's in executive leadership.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel confident or comfortable without it. And
yeah.
So now I feel much more prepared.
Yeah. And I think, and so you're ICF certified, which is a designation, right?
Yes.
International Federation. Yeah. And I know that's a respected accrediting agency for coaches.
Right, yes.
And there's a rigorous set of practices you have to adhere to and coaching hours you have to complete with both a coach for yourself and in coaching others. Is that accurate?
That is correct. Yeah.
Yep. So it's definitely takes some time to get through that process of getting certified.
Well, there was many times when I was in coaching school that I compared it to getting my master's degree. It was quite intense at times,
Okay. And which program did you end up going through? Because I know there's several out there.
It's called IPEC, and it stands for Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching. But everyone just goes by the initials IPEC.
Okay. And was it like an online or mixed hybrid kind of course, or – how did you go through the schooling part of it?
It was a hybrid. We went to three-day weekends in person.
Okay.
And then in between, very similar to our master's, in between we had work or we had group projects or we had group coaching or peer coaching in between the sessions.
Okay. All right.
And papers to write and books to read and all that.
Yeah. So tell me how it is going now. I mean, I know so this has been a dream of yours for a while, and I feel like you've always had this real aptitude towards it because you're very open. You're easy to talk to. You have a light demeanor and fun kind of sense of personality, and so you draw people in pretty easily. And so are you, I mean, it's hard to build a business, but as far as the coaching goes, how's that going? Are you enjoying that aspect of it?
The only way I can explain it is that when I'm coaching, I'm in touch with the divine.
That's amazing.
It is the most amazing thing. It's just me being a channel for God or for the goodwill or for the universe. Like, I have a strong faith in God, so I believe it's God, but so many people today are offended by that word. So, like, I just feel this is it. Like, I could have been doing this years ago, or I hate to say should, you know, I hate to should on myself, as they say.
Right.
But I'm just really happy. And every time I work with someone, they get great results, and it's amazing. Amazing.
So you found, like you said earlier, your calling, and you're actively pursuing that now and in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What are some of the challenges with going out and doing this? Or what are some of the, tell me a little bit about the struggle, because there's always struggle in change, and usually it leads to something good. A lot of times it does. Do you have anything you want to share about getting to where you are now that might help others who are in the process of evolving their own selves?
Well, I was working full time. I moved up from San Diego to work for a government agency in the Bay Area on a 3-year contract. And that contract just expired. So I was working full time and trying to do the coaching business. And that's a lot for any of your listeners that are trying to start a business and working full time. It's a lot. And I'm going to refer back to when I was a waitress. Like, when I was a waitress and my station was packed, every table was seated, I didn't miss a beat.
Yeah.
When I only had one table, I would forget stuff and, you know, so it's like that. I'm now starting my third week of not working because that contract has expired. And, so I struggle with time management and motivation. And I always struggle with, worthiness.
Yeah.
And this, like, the yin and the yang, or the happy and the sad clown face.
Yeah.
That I'm telling you, that people, and you're telling me, it's hard to believe when people are telling me how great I am. It's hard for me to believe it. And then when people have these great results and they say stuff like, oh my gosh, you changed my life by working with me. The self-worth and negative self-talk, stuff like that.
So that you don't feel has reconciled, or you're still doing battle with that.
I still battle with that.
Yeah.
I mean, the voices are much quieter. Like, I would say when I was younger, they were like a dragon. And now they're more like a an annoying fly or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still like, just like a fly in a room. You don't see it, then you see it, then you don't see it, then you see it.
I had a friend who called it the committee.
I definitely have.
Definitely. The committee was in session and it was relentless, you know. So I don't think you're alone in feeling that way. I think
struggle
with that. And I'm sure in conversations with others, they validate that to some degree with you, because I think most of us struggle with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which somehow doesn't make it easier when it's you in the moment, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to, even people that tell me that they suffer with this, it's just like, well, shoot, I doubt it's in the DSM or anything, but imposter syndrome is like a real thing.
It's a real thing. Yeah.
It's a real thing. And so, you know, it must be pretty prevalent if there's actually a term for it. So that's comforting.
Do you have any tools when you start to hear that in your own thoughts, or when you're starting to have those, or if you're having a down day, do you have any tools that you use to sort that out for yourself or try to mitigate it somehow?
Well, I'm going to refer to my coaching business, and what I do is I specialize in first-time managers and supervisors and first-time leaders, and I give them what I call PIES, the initials P-I-E-S. So P is permission to be great is granted.
Mm-hmm.
I is imperfection is encouraged. So right there, I have to practice what I preach, right? I'm telling people imperfection is encouraged. So every time I make a mistake or I don't complete a task that I thought I would complete, I have to remember that. And then E, eyes on self, like I'm constantly comparing myself to, gosh, like seriously, look at you have a podcast. Why don't I have a podcast? How come she has a podcast? Why don't I make a podcast? You know, so eyes on self. Eyes on self.
We all do that. It's awful.
Right?
And then it's terrible.
The last thing I have is that I coach people on and then coach myself on is support system creation. And so I have a good network of women that I turn to when I need a kick in the butt. Or I need a hug, or I need support, you know, like that are there for me all the time. And the serenity prayer just really helps me a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Change what I can, accept what I can't change, and hopefully have the wisdom
Understand.
To figure out. Yeah.
That's
amazing. That's the difficulty is figuring out what you can and can't change.
Yeah.
Or, you know, do I want to or not. Someone told me years ago, accept it, change it, or leave it. And so it takes a while for me to process things. So do I want it? Can I accept it? Can I change it? Do I really want to leave it? You know, so each one of those steps is huge.
Yeah.
That's basically what I do. I give myself permission to not be perfect. I give myself permission to take a nap if I need it or to have a day where I'm binge watching something. And then
that's rejuvenation time too, don't you think? I mean, I know for me when I get tired in that way and I need to just, you know, watch Billions or whatever it is. I knew you were talking about Downton Abbey earlier.
Yeah. No. I'm watching Downton Abbey. Yeah. Before the movie comes out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really about like letting your brain heal itself and mm-hmm. yourself back. That's been my experience. It's putting my mm-hmm. back together for the next round of energy that I'm going to expend. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
And then also for me, like I've planted the seed and my mind is working.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not actually doing work. I'm not actually at the computer, at the keyboard with my fingers going, but my mind, when I step away from it, that's sometimes where I get the best ideas.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, okay, from 10 to 11 today, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. So, I think there's people who are really disciplined about that. And then there's people who are disciplined in a different way where there's more of a flow to their, how they manage their energy. And I think both work. You just have to know what's working in the moment and not BS yourself when you're really just being lazy. And I think that can happen too, where you're like, oh, I'm not up for this, but it's really fear or something getting in the way, or you're feeling lazy and you don't want to address something. And so knowing that that's what I'm hearing you say, or that's what I'm projecting anyway, is that can happen too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And then I have a coach. I am a coach, and then I have a coach that keeps me accountable. That I make commitments to. That I'll do this by then. I'm much better with a deadline.
So how often do you talk to your coach?
I talk to my coach right at this moment. I have two coaches, and I talk to one of them once a week, and the other one about once a month.
Okay. And they offer you different elements into what you're trying to build, or
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they both. The one is a spiritual coach, mm-hmm. and so she helps me like find my direction and be true to myself. And the other one, right at this moment, we're focusing on my food because I've always been a food fighter my whole life. I have mm-hmm. fought the food fight and lost. And so right now she's helping me with my food.
Okay.
And I talk to her once a week.
Do you have any recommendation? If someone is looking for a coach, what would you recommend to them in terms of finding someone that's compatible with who they are and what their needs are in the moment?
I think it's important to be able to, first of all, you have to be teachable. You have to come as a teachable person. And just as finding any partner or finding a counselor or finding a doctor, you don't have to try more than one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times coaches will offer free introductory talk. And so I like to work, I like to have a coach that has the same kind of life experience that I have and some values, core values
mm-hmm.
that I share. And the coach doesn't have to have every single experience that you're going through because we believe that all the answers lie with the client anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we just ask open-ended questions that get you to start thinking and the neurons in your brain to start moving in a different way. And so I would say look for someone who you're comfortable being vulnerable and honest with and that you're absolutely sure can keep a confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're sworn to confidentiality. So do you trust this person's going to be closed mouth?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we should leave it here and have this be round one of conversations for the podcast. I hope you're up for that. I would love to, I have more questions for you, but I think it would be good to maybe do a round two at some point soon.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say thanks so much for being willing to play with me and experiment in this new format with this Zoom software that we're using. And we had a few technical difficulties, but we got through them. It looks like we're recording, so hopefully we are. And
I'm sure you are. And,
yeah.
And I want, before we go, I want to say that you, because I can see you, you're... I just see myself in you because as you're doing this, you're just so excited, so turned on.
I'm on right now with this whole thing.
Oh.
You know, I want to mention too, like we share a birthday. You remember?
That's right.
We share a birthday, which is weird. We have the same degree. I am pursuing my coaching practice as well. And I'm going to go through a program next year to finish the certification process. So I'm really excited about that.
Oh, where are you going to go? What?
I don't know. I need to do a little more research, but I'm looking at CTI.
Talk about that online. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at CTI and,
okay. Good reputation. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think I have a little more research to do and see where it leads me. But, yeah, so it's fun that we share this common interest and, you know, love for working with people.
Totally. And who knows where our paths will cross again.
Right. 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 Mm-hmm. So, well, thanks so much. It's great to see you. And, you know, we'll talk more offline. And, before we go, where can people find you if they're interested in learning more about your coaching practice?
Well, I will tell you that my website is Joan Kling, my first and last name, joankling.com.
Okay, so that's joankling.com.
That is the easiest way. And then I can give my phone number, too.
Okay. Why don't we leave that not for the larger world, but people can go see you on your website. You'll probably
okay, perfect. Perfect. Or Joan, you know, or LinkedIn or Instagram. Yeah.
Okay, so Joan Kling on LinkedIn and Instagram as well.
Joan Kling Coach on Instagram, I think.
On Instagram. Okay. All right. Well, I'll put that in the show notes too for people. So.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Great to see you.
Yay! Yeah, yes, we did it.
Yeah, yes. take care and talk soon. All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Thank you for joining us today at the Workbench. We welcome your comments and would love to hear what you are in the process of building. Look us up at KristinaAu.com. That's KristinaAu.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, you can help us with our build by subscribing, sharing, and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We aim to inspire and stir the pot for the next big thing you want to build or create. Until next time.